As I mentioned earlier, we're going to be starting a series in the book of Jonah this month, and we'll just take a chapter at a time for the next 4 weeks. Many of us have probably heard stories from the book of Jonah in the past, whether it's through Sunday school, maybe it's through kids' church, maybe it's through some other ministry as part of the church. And if you have, you've probably heard the story of Jonah summarized into this, that Jonah was called to take the gospel or to preach a message of repentance to the Ninevites. Jonah ran. Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, and maybe you're even taught that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, which the fish could have been a whale. Scripture says that it was a fish. So Jonah was swallowed by a fish. He was in the fish for 3 days. The fish spit him out, and then Jonah went and actually did what God was calling him to do in the first place, and he preached the good news of the gospel to the Ninevites. And you may have left with an end lesson of we should do what God says we should do. That when God tells us to do something, even if it's hard, that we should be willing to do it because it's what God tells us to do, that we should be obedient to God. Some of us may have studied the book a little bit more in detail, and we understand the contrast between Ninevites, between Nineveh and God's people. And so we may understand that this is a message, or this is a book, partly about taking the gospel to foreign lands, to take the gospel to a nation that is not of our own. And so you may have walked away and saying, well, the book of Jonah is about taking the gospel to foreign lands. It's about world missions. And regardless of which one you've been taught, realize that those are only part of the story of Jonah. As we're going to see over the next 4 weeks, the book of Jonah is about God's mission of grace. And yes, that mission includes Nineveh. It includes Jonah taking the gospel to Nineveh, to a nation, to a land that has been hostile to God. But it's also about God's desire to show grace to sailors on a boat. And God's mission to show grace to Jonah, a faithful Jew who ran away from God, who hated Nineveh. And yet God desired to show Jonah grace over and over and over again. So regardless of where you are today as we start this book of Jonah, maybe you'd be like the Ninevites and you've been living your life hostile to God. You've been trying to disobey him at every turn. I pray that you would know God's grace as we study this book. Maybe your life is like the sailors who have been worshiping other gods. You've been trying to be a good people. You've been pursuing these other idols. And if so, I pray that as we study this book, you would know God's grace. But I'm guessing that most of us here this morning, that we're a church full of Jonahs who are running from God's call to share the gospel with the lost, who are running from this mission that God has given us. And I pray that as we go through this book, we would see God's incredible grace for us too. They would be reminded of his incredible grace that he has shown us in the past, the grace for our current sin, and also the grace that he longs to show us as we obey this call to go take the gospel to all nations. May we see over these next 4 weeks God's incredible grace to our church and the grace that he desires to show to the city of Muscatine and the rest of the world. So let's get started in Jonah chapter 1. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you this morning, we should have a black Bible that looks a little bit like this, either in the chair in front of you or in the chair in front of your neighbor. There may be a small print version or a large print version there. If you happen to grab the small print version, we're going to be on page 920 or 967. And if you happen to grab the large print version, we'll be on page 920. And so, once again, I encourage you to turn to that and follow along with us as we read God's Word this morning. I'll give you a little bit of time to turn to that, and then, once again, I'll read it for us. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." And they said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, "Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation, and where do you come from? What is your country, and of what people are you?" And he said to them, "I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land." Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then they said to him, "What shall you do? What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. He said to them, "Pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you, for I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you." Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to dry land, but they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, let us not perish for this man's blood, and lay not on us innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it has pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. The word of the Lord. Well, as we read through chapter 1, we see that the story doesn't get off to a great start for the three main figures or groups of people in this story. And we're going to go through each one of these three. We're going to give a little bit of background to them. We're going to show their sin, and then we're going to follow their story throughout this passage. And so first up, we have the Ninevites. Nineveh was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire. The Assyrians were the greatest threat to God's people. They were the next-door neighbors to them. They were a land or a nation that was trying to conquer the other lands at the time. And their leaders were known for cruelty. So they weren't a nation that just conquered you and said, you know, you can continue living however you want to, maybe adopt a few of our customs, but for most part, you can live in peace. They were leaders who, once they conquered you, they made your lives miserable. They basically put you into slavery. And the main thing that we need to know about the Ninevites is that they were a violent nation. As they conquered cities, they burned them to the ground. As they conquered and overcame military soldiers, they subjected them to torture before they murdered them. And they were even known for, they were well known for decapitations. And so one of their common practices would be that they would decapitate heads of some of the soldiers. They would stick the heads on spears, and they would implant the spears into the ground along the paths of the road. And so as the women and the children were led into the city led back into the Assyrian cities, they would have to walk down this path of spears and heads of brothers and dads and husbands. They wanted you to know that they had all the power, all the authority, that you were defeated and lost. They made your life miserable. They would be comparable to what you and I often think of ISIS today. In other words, they would probably be one of the last places that you and I would ever want to share the gospel. And they would be one of the last places that we would expect God to go send someone to share the gospel. Because of their evil actions, we see that God is sending a prophet named Jonah to call out their sin and their evil against him. Secondly, we have this group of sailors on the boat that Jonah flees to Tarshish in. And I think it would be easy for us just to read this story real quick and think, man, how unfortunate are these sailors? They didn't do anything wrong, and all of a sudden Jonah comes into their boat and asks for a ride. They're just trying to transport cargo from Joppa to Tarshish. And all of a sudden this man comes in. They think they're doing him a good deed, giving him a free ride over there or making him pay for the ride. And all of a sudden this storm starts wreaking havoc on their boat. They have to throw all their cargo over, all their money that they had invested. And we just think, man, stinks to be them. They didn't do anything wrong. But as we see, as we look at the details, they were not innocent victims at all in regards to their relationship with God. We see that they worshipped other gods. That each one, when the storm came, were calling out to their own gods, praying and hoping that someone on the ship, one of the gods that they served, was the one that was in charge of the storm. Hey, you call out to this god. Maybe that's the god that is causing this issue. You call out to this god. Maybe that god is the one who's causing the issue. Maybe if all of us call out to all the gods we know, eventually we'll hit which one is causing this storm. And we see as Jonah is explaining who Yahweh is, who this God is that he serves, that they did not know this God. Otherwise they would have called out to him, but they haven't yet called out to Yahweh yet. And three, we see that they are relying on their own efforts to overcome the storm. Even when Jonah says, throw me overboard, they say, you know what? Maybe we don't have to do this. Maybe we can row to safety. Maybe we can rely on our own efforts and still be safe, still have our lives spared. They were ignorant of God, and so he had sent a violent storm against them and their ship. Finally, we have Jonah. And believe it or not, this is actually not the first time we've been introduced to Jonah in Scripture, if you read it from front to back. In 2 Kings 14, it says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, the son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, began to reign in Samaria. And he reigned 41 years. And he did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, which he made Israel to sin. He restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the sea of Arabah, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which he spoke by his servant Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. Therefore, a Jewish reader would have remembered Jonah as someone who loved Israel, who hated Israel's enemies, who had served during a time when Israel had expanded their borders. He would have been known as an intensely patriotic Jew. And so we see from this that Jonah was a successful prophet of the Lord, that he had spoke to God's people, he had delivered God's word successfully to them, he had had the courage to do that. It wasn't like Jonah has always been lacking courage, that Jonah could speak the word of the Lord in hostile situations, but to the Jews. That he loved Israel and hated Israel's enemies, but we see here that he ran completely away from God. And I hope we see as we read this passage all the ways that this author tries to explain how Jonah was disobedient to the Lord. Notice he says, arise. Arise, go to Nineveh. And in verse 3 it says, Jonah arose to flee. If you read this passage in the Hebrew context, it's arise and go up to Nineveh. But then we see that Jonah went down to Joppa, down to the seacoast. He got down off the dock into a boat. He went down to the lower level, and he went down to sleep. He was supposed to go up, up, and he went down, 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 down. He was supposed to go east to Nineveh, and he went west to Tarshish. He was supposed to go by land to Nineveh, and he went by sea to Tarshish. He was supposed to go to a big city in Nineveh, and he went to the end of the known world in Tarshish. He was supposed to go towards God's call, and over it says he went away from the presence of the Lord. And this isn't just saying that Jonah wanted to just get away locationally, that Jonah wanted nothing to do with the Lord anymore. He knew his two options. Either I go to Nineveh and I follow the Lord's call, or I leave behind my relationship with God altogether and I go to Tarshish. He doesn't just want to say, hey, I'll go to Tarshish and I'll serve God. He wants to say, I want nothing to do with the Lord anymore, because I know that if I do, I have to go to Nineveh. Tim Keller writes this. He says, Jonah fled because he did not want to work for the good of the pagans. He wanted to serve exclusively the interests of believers. He wanted to be only for the Jews. He wanted to serve only the Jews. But God shows him here that he is the God of all people. And Jonah needs to see himself as being a part of the whole human community, not only a member of the faith community. Simply put, Jonah is the person who has experienced the grace of God, but does not want to tell others about it. And so Jonah finds himself caught in the middle of God's storm of judgment, just like the sailors. This brings us to our first point this morning. That evil actions, ignorance, and avoiding sharing the gospel are all forms of running from God's grace. And all of them deserve his judgment. And so if you're here today and your life has been characterized by outright rebellion to God, you've been hostile towards him, you've been taking advantage of others, you've been abusing others, you've been using foul language, you've done everything that you know you shouldn't do and avoiding everything you know that you should do, the Ninevites are the people that you should be paying attention to in this passage. And I pray that you would realize that God is fully aware of your sin. He's fully aware of your disobedience against you, and there will come a day when his judgment will come upon you. No bad deed goes unpunished and escapes God's knowledge. Maybe some of you here today, and your life most resembles the sailors. You try your best to be a good person, but up till now you've been loving other things other than God. Maybe it's your career, maybe it's your family, maybe it's your possessions, maybe it's your popularity, but these things get a majority of your time and your effort and your focus instead of your worship of God. And I pray that you would realize that just like the Ninevites, this is another form of running from God's grace. It likewise deserves his judgment. That we are to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength and all of our mind. We're to love him more than we love anything else in this world. And anything short of that is sin and deserving of God's storms and trials. But as I mentioned earlier, I'm guessing that most of us here this morning can most identify with Jonah. We're Christians who often avoid sharing the gospel with non-believers. We're Christians who have experienced God's grace but do not want to tell others about it. That when God says, go make disciples of all nations, we stay. When God commands us to teach others, we stay silent. And when God says, arise, we choose to move away from the presence of the Lord. And I think in these times, it's really easy for us to look to all the other good things, all the other ways that we're obeying God's commands. God, look at me. I'm here this morning. I'm here to worship you. God, I have a faithful prayer life. I got plugged into a small group. I serve our church in various ways. And we just think, you know, I'll do all those things so long as I don't have to go share the gospel with others. And I pray we would see that's exactly what Jonah did. Jonah had been faithful to God up until this point. He had spoke the words that he was supposed to speak to the people that he was supposed to speak them to. He was faithful in all these things. And then God says, go share the gospel with Nineveh. He said, no, I don't want to do that. And look at what happened. God didn't just slap him on the wrist. He sends a storm to destroy Jonah. serious this command is to go share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. This is how serious God takes this sin. He didn't look at Jonah's life and say, you know, you've been faithful for so many years, I suppose I can excuse this one thing. When we rebel against this command, like Jonah, we're taking our chances with the consequences of God. And if you and I think that we can serve God in all these other ways and God will just forget about our lack of desire to share the gospel with others, we're sorely mistaken. God does not simply brush this off because it is a sin against him. And at some point, our unwillingness to share the gospel will bring about some difficulty in our life. So at this point in the story, we see God's hand of judgment against Nineveh, against the sailors, against Jonah. And hopefully we see that if we're not sharing the gospel, it's against us as well. But church, help is on the way. We see in verse 7 that the sailors cast lots in order to determine the source of this evil, which basically amounted to them throwing stones, often colored stones, and each color was designated to a particular person. It'd be like us saying, okay, we have these six people, we're going to take this dice here, and you are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and whatever we roll is who the person, who the chosen person is. And they, this was used by believers and non-believers, and they believed that God would work through that process. And so if I was assigned a 1 and someone rolled a 1, it was because God determined that it was me, that he worked through the rolling of the dice. And so the lot falls on Jonah as the guilty one, and they began to grill him with questions. Jonah responds by saying who he is and what God he serves, and that he is running from God's call to go to Nineveh. And so they ask him, what must we do to appease this God? We've been doing all these other things to appease these other gods. What must we do to appease this God? And Jonah tells them to hurl him into the sea. Notice this is Jonah's first opportunity to repent. He could easily say, you know what? I'm going to go to Nineveh. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I'll go to Nineveh. And chances are the storm would have just stopped right there. But Jonah would rather be thrown over the boat and drown in the sea than what he would go to Nineveh. So he says, just throw me over the sea. Well, they don't like that, and so they say, well, maybe we just haven't been rowing hard enough, and so they try that again. But the sea grows more and more tempestuous. The storm gets worse and worse, and so finally they ask the Lord for mercy, and they throw Jonah over the side of the boat. And immediately the sea calms down. Jonah gives his life so that others may live. I'll say that again. Jonah gives his life so that others may live. And if that sounds familiar, it should. Jonah and Jesus have a lot in common, and this is God's intention to draw this parallel through the story. Look with me up at the chart. Jonah was called and sent to Nineveh. Jesus was called and sent to earth. Jonah was called to preach repentance to Israel's enemies. Jesus was called to preach repentance to God's enemies. Jonah ran away from God's call, whereas Jesus perfectly obeyed God's call. Jonah conceded to give up his life for others. Jesus willingly gave up his life for others. Jonah was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Jesus was in the grave for 3 days. And Jesus himself made these connections while teaching the Pharisees in Matthew 12. Look up with me at the screen here. It says, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. In church, from this, we see the good news of the gospel for us this morning. That Jesus is the greater Jonah, who obeyed God's call and willingly gave up his life for the sake of others. Once again, Jesus is the greater Jonah who obeyed God's call and willingly gave up his life for the sake of others. And what great news, as always, is the gospel for us this morning. If the sacrifice of a rebellious man named Jonah can spare the lives of sailors, how much more can the sacrifice of a perfect and righteous man in Jesus save sinners like you and I? If you are here today and you've been living a rebellious life just like the Ninevites, then Jesus is the Savior you need. He is the one who gives eternal life. He is the one who has died to turn away the wrath of God that he has against you. He willingly gave up his life to bear the punishment for every single one of your sins, so that your life could be saved instead of destroyed. Trust in him. If you're here today and your life has been represented by the sailors, that you've been trying to live a good life without putting your full trust in Jesus, then realize he's also the Savior that you need. Realize that when your idols of popularity, when your idols of success, when your idols of relationships, when your idols of riches let you down, that it is God's way of breaking down your idols and teaching you to rely solely on the grace of God. All the things of this world will never save you, but Jesus can. He gave up his life to spare you from the storms of judgment. Trust in him. And finally, for all the Jonas here this morning, let us remember that Jesus is the Savior we need as well. He not only died for our past sins of disobedience, he died for our sins in the present as well. He died for our unwillingness to want to share the gospel with others. And we need Jesus just as much as we did at the moment of salvation. And I pray that this morning we would realize how serious our sin of apathy towards sharing the gospel is to God. But I pray that we would realize that as we repent of this, that God would forgive us through Jesus as well. Chapter 1 ends with the storm calmed down, sparing the lives of the sailors. In verse 16, it says that the result of God sparing their life is that men begin to fear God exceedingly, offering sacrifices to him and making vows. Jonah is thrown over the side of the boat, seemingly to his death. But in verse 17, it says that the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Unless we just think, well, that's just the Lord's comedy. You know, Jonah wanted to die by drowning, and instead he's going to die by fish. It says Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That is, was actually a form of God's deliverance. And with Jonah, lest we forget, lies the hope of Nineveh. For it is through Jonah that God chose to bring the good news of the gospel to them. And so we see three sets of people. We see three sets of consequences for their sin. But church, we also see three different forms of God's grace in the midst of their consequences. God spares the sailors from death at the hands of the storm, and he gives them a chance to turn away from their idols. Will you turn away from me? Now that you've seen that all your other gods will fail you, I'll give you one more chance to put your trust in me, to see that I am the one that rules over the waves. I'm the one who controls all and is over all. I am the one who can deliver you. And they turn away from their idols and turn back towards God. What grace that storm was for them in teaching them who the real God that they should be worshiping was. Secondly, God spares Jonah from the death at the hands of the sea. He doesn't give Jonah what he truly deserves. Jonah wanted death, and Jonah deserved death. And God says, you know what? I'm going to spare you from death. I'm going to send a fish to swallow you and preserve your life in it. And when it looked like the Ninevites would never hear the gospel because their messenger was going to pass, Jonah's life is spared and their hopes are as well. And this brings us to our final point this morning. For us to believe that God is willing to show us grace through our consequences, sparing us from what we truly deserve and drawing us closer to him. Church, may we see how this is true for us. For those like the Ninevites this morning, realize that God's grace to you this morning is giving you another opportunity to put your trust in Jesus. Though you will most assuredly suffer the consequences of some of your sins, God has given you another opportunity this morning to hear the good news of the gospel, to put your trust in Jesus, to believe that your sins can be taken away, to believe that God would be willing to pour his wrath on Jesus instead of pour his wrath on you. Should you trust in him this morning that he will spare you from the eternal suffering that your sin deserves? To those like the sailors this morning, realize God has shown you grace by destroying your idols one by one. The times that your seeking fame lets you down, or your seeking relationships lets you down, or seeking success lets you down. It's God's way of showing these things will never save you. These things will never fill you. And should you trust in them like the sailors did? Should you trust in God that he will spare you from the suffering that your sins deserve? Realize God is using the failure of each one of your idols to draw you closer to him today. He is smashing them in your self-efforts to show you how much you need Jesus. And for the Jonas, may we understand that some of the consequences we experience today may be directly linked to our disobedience to share the gospel with others. And I'm not saying in any way that every consequence has a sin attached to it. There are some times when some of the suffering we endure in this life isn't because of sin. It's just because God has a purpose in that. But it is true that every sin has a consequence. So every time God tells us or calls us to go share the gospel with others and we don't, there's a consequence attached to it. And so often you and I, we wait till we have our lives in order until we follow God. We say, you know what, I'll go share the gospel when I have this part of my life in order and this part of my life in order and this part of my life in order. And so clearly, I need to just work on my life before I go share the gospel with others. What we see here in Jonah is that God sometimes allows our lives to remain in disorder as a consequence for not following him. He allows our finances to be out of line so we don't rely on ourselves, but we rely on him. He allows our relationships with others to be unhealthy, and so we turn to him instead of turning to ourselves to fix it. He allows our free time to be minimal because he wants that time to be used for him. And he keeps the details of our future hidden as a consequence of not following him. We realize, church, that God does this because he loves us. He does this as a means of showing us grace. Who here thinks that the sailors would have ever turned to God had he not brought the storm into their life? Who here thinks, spoiler alert, that Jonah would have ever went to Nineveh had God not brought the storm, had not brought the fish into his life as a form of discipline? You see, God realizes that the best thing that we can have in this life is a relationship with him. The best thing that we can know in this life is that God loves us enough to send Jesus to die for us. And the best thing that we can do in this life is to follow God, whatever he asks us to do. And thus God will do everything he can out of his love to draw us back to what is good for us. Jonah wanted to run from God. He didn't want anything to do with God anymore. And God said, I love you too much, Jonah, to allow you to do that. And so, yes, I'm going to bring this storm that may destroy this boat. And I'm going to bring this fish which may swallow you alive. And these will be consequences of your sin. You never would have had to deal with this storm if you had stayed on land. You never would have had to deal with this fish had you stayed on land. But I'm bringing these consequences because I love you, Jonah. It is better for you to deal with these consequences, Jonah, than to be far from me. And so as we deal with these consequences of our sin of not sharing the gospel with others, may we see them as a gift of grace. That it's God's way of steering us back towards what is good for us. And what is good for these people who don't know Jesus as well. And so whatever consequences we experience, church, for our lack of desire, for our lack of desire to follow God, for our lack of desire to turn from our idols, for our lack of desire to share the gospel, I pray that we would see them as signs of God's grace. That we would see, God, you have not punished me according to what my sins deserve, and I see that you are using these consequences to bring me back to you. To bring me back to what is good for us. Church, it is good for us to love God. It is good for us to follow Jesus. It is good for us to share the gospel with those who don't know Jesus. It is good for us to know that we don't share the gospel because God has commanded us to. It's good for us to know that we don't share the gospel because it's a legalistic thing for us to do. It's good for us to know that we don't share the gospel because of what this story says about the consequences of our sin. It's good for us to know that we share the gospel because Jesus is the greater Jonah who gave up his life for you and I. It's good for us to know that we share the gospel because we have been saved. And God wants others to know this salvation as well. And I pray that we would be a church that shares the gospel with the lost. Because we're a church that knows God's love for us through Jesus. Let's pray. God, as we've seen this morning, it's not always easy to read your word. And your word sometimes is like a sword that pierces us right through the heart. But Father, I pray for us as a church that we would see your grace at work in our lives as we have our sin called out. Whether that's outright disobedience, whether that's worshiping and chasing the things of this world, or our failure to share the gospel. Father, we would see that the consequences that we suffer because of that are your way of leading us back to what is good. Father, as we continue to go through this book of Jonah, would you show us your grace over and over again? Show us your grace in our call. Show us your grace in these consequences. Show us your grace in your love for those who don't know Jesus. Re-anchor us in the wonderful news of the gospel, that Jesus is the better Jonah who gave up his life willingly for us. And may our lives then reflect our Savior's, who is willing to take that message to his enemies. May we be willing to take the good news of the gospel to our enemies as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.